Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Cullen Steele behind the scenes, coordinating everything on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. It's covered college football for a long period of time from Action Network HQ. Brett McMurphy. Brett, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
You got it. Good to talk to you again.
Brett, before we get into kind of the playoff type deals, one of the things, I do TV every Tuesday, and one of the guys that does the TV weekly with Bobby and I is Rich Morty, former Penn State guy. And for the last 5 or 6 years, every time Penn State has played Ohio State, I'll ask him, come on, is this the year? And he's like, Mike, I don't think so. Ohio State's better than us. I just got a feeling that Ohio State's going to win again. This was the first week I went up to him, and he's like, don't ask me, but I'm going to tell you, I think this is Penn State's year. And there, he said, I think their ability to how well they played up front with their front seven, and just the intrigue now of what's going to happen at quarterback. So you think possibly this is the big game that James Franklin can win going up either against an Ohio State or Michigan?
Well, he won't get of all the years to not play Michigan. this is the bad year not to play him when they're going to finish 7-5. I think Penn State's got a legitimate shot, and you know, you look at what you've mentioned, the interior line. I think that's a big positive for Penn State. Ohio State starting left tackle questionable, may not play or not. And look, I thought this, you know, back in the summer, I went to Big Ten Media Days in Indianapolis, and I was shocked by this, that not only Ryan Day but all of his players that were in attendance, they weren't shy. They basically said this year it's national title or bust. And, you know, like you mentioned, I've been doing this a long time. I've never remembered a team publicly say that before the season. Obviously, privately, you got your goals and all those different things. This is totally different, guys. You come out and say, if we don't win it, it's a huge disappointment. Because of that, I automatically thought, well, Ohio State's not going to win it. Not that they're not talented enough, but I just think with that whole mindset, you go from trying to win to almost trying not to lose. And Oregon got them. Nebraska should have got them. And now you go at Penn State. They're only a 3.5-point favorite. That's got to be the smallest number for Ohio State, you know, at Penn State. And it's a top-five matchup. And for all the games Ryan Day has won, he has not fared well in top-five matchups. Oregon was one. He lost that. So this finally could be the year for Penn State. You know, either way, even if they lose this game, they win out, I think they're fine for the playoff. But I know this game means a lot for James Franklin, because at the same media day in Indianapolis, in his 15-minute opening press conference, he mentioned three different times, well, you can win 10 and 11 most places and be a success, but not at Penn State, because he's tired of hearing all the cat calls that they win 10 or 11 games but never get to the playoffs. So is this the magical year? We'll have to find out. But they got to be feeling pretty good about the situation, no matter what happens with their starting quarterback situation.
Brett, it's funny you brought that up about national championship or bust at Manning Passing Academy. I sit down with Will Howard, and we talked before the cameras started rolling. The first thing he tells me once the cameras roll about expectations at Ohio State, it is national championship or bust. And you brought up the exact same thing. I was surprised he actually said it. To tell me that off the air is one thing, but he said it while the tape was rolling. And I was very surprised he made that comment. Because he's a transfer guy there from Kansas State, but that mindset was there. Man, you lose this game here, you got some issues now.
Yeah, and look, this is not out of the realm of possibility. If Ohio State loses this game and they go 10-2, they're certainly not going to be in the Big Ten title game unless there's chaos all around. Ohio State would be 10-2. They would have the same number of top 25 wins that you and I have this year, and that would be zero. So how is the we don't know how the committee is going to view that. An Ohio State team that's 10-2 with two losses against the only ranked teams that you played, again, it depends on who you're being compared with. But there's a very real possibility that if Ohio State loses this game, they could miss out on the playoffs. I think Texas is in a similar situation. They have not beat a ranked team. And if they lose to, somebody down at the end of the last 4 weeks of the season, Texas A&M, probably the biggest test, Texas could be in the same spot, 10-2, no wins against ranked opponents, and you lost your only two games against ranked teams. So, depending on what happens all around the country, but it's funny, Ohio State and Texas, which probably most people would have put on a short list, not only to win the national title, but get to the playoff, could be on the outside looking in if they suffer another loss. We'll have to see.
Brett, I had a texter ask about this, and I think it's an interesting question that we're pretty sure there'll be two SEC teams in that top 12. Could there be a third in the playoff system?
There could be a third, or there could be a fourth, or, Colin Wilson, who I work with at Action Network, he believes that only two SEC teams are going to make it.
Okay.
He thinks Texas and Georgia gets in, and then LSU, Alabama, Ole Miss, kind of beat up on each other and shuffle down the rankings. He's basing that on Indiana getting in at 11-1. He's basing that on the ACC getting in two schools. He's basing that on Iowa State and BYU both going undefeated and then playing the Big 12 title game. So the loser of that game gets in. But he thinks only two will get in. I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet. I think, next week's game, and I'm sure you guys have already talked about it at length, and we'll continue to, is an elimination game. I don't see any way that the loser of Bama and LSU gets into the playoff with three losses. Unless just everybody ranked above them loses multiple games and they can shuffle up. But, you'll be behind, who the loser of this game will lose any head-to-head comparisons with the winner. So you would have to jump them. And then, specifically for LSU, there's no more ranked teams on the remainder of the schedule, so there's no chance there for any quality wins, unless, of course, Vanderbilt is still ranked at that point, which gets back in the rankings, I guess. And I don't think that's realistic. So, this is a unique situation. I mean, LSU-Bam has always been the marquee game in the SEC, and this year it is. It's kind of everybody wants an expanded playoff. They want to go past 12. Well, here's an elimination game. So this is, I guess, if we had a 16 or 24 team field, this would be the first round right here between Bama and LSU.
Brett, it's funny, LSU-Alabama, when you look at yearly rivalry games that have produced the most NFL players over the last 11 years, LSU-Alabama has produced 179 draft choices entering the NFL, 179. The second most is Ohio State-Michigan with 154. So it goes to show you how much talent has been on that field over the last 10, 11 years Alabama and LSU. Looking at the college football world, to me, one guy, now I don't know if he'll win the Heisman. I think he's the best player in college football, Travis Hunter at Colorado.
I agree 1,000%. And I have done a total 180 on him since last year. And I think the biggest difference for me is, one, Colorado's having success on the field. They don't have to go 12-0. They don't have to go 11-1. They are exceeding expectations. And look, Ashton Jeanty, the Boise State running back, is having an incredible year. As an Oklahoma State alum, it's hard for me to say, but he could break Barry Sanders' records. But I will say, but Sanders will still own the per-game record because Sanders only had an 11-game regular season. But anyway, he's been incredible. Devil's advocate, he hasn't faced the strongest of opponents. Playing in the Mountain West, they did face Oregon. Obviously, that's a good out-of-conference game. But we saw, you know, last week against UNLV, he was limited to 125 yards. The worst game of Barry Sanders' Heisman season was 10 fewer carries than Jeanty had against UNLV, and he still had 154 yards against Missouri. So I think not whether it's fair or not, I think the fact he's not in a power conference is going to hurt Jeanty. And I think Travis Hunter, people can say, well, look what Gabriel's doing at Oregon. Look what Cam Ward's doing at Miami. You know, yeah, they're having incredible seasons. They're quarterbacks on the highest-ranked teams, going to the playoffs. And that's usually the recipe to win the Heisman. This year, it just I agree with you. It just feels different. Travis Hunter plays in 99% of his team's plays. That's unheard of. And he's not just out there jogging around. He was a mid-season first-team AP All-American offense and defense. He's the first player in the history of the Big 12 to be named offensive and defensive player of the week in the same season. And what Jeanty's doing is something that's remarkable, hasn't been done in 30 years. What Gabriel and Ward are doing is great, but it's done basically every year. What Travis Hunter is doing and what has never, ever been done before, and I think he's got a good shot. And this is a weird year with the expanded playoff and everything. You know, somebody tweeted this out. I'd mentioned him, but I can't remember who it was. Said, is it possible that the SEC doesn't even have a Heisman finalist? And, you know, I think that's a very real possibility unless Carson Beck goes crazy or, you guys got a guy sling it who's got a shot. And unfortunately, I think the fact that Daniels won it last year will probably keep some people from giving him a serious look. I know that's not right, but that's, you know, kind of the mind of a Heisman voter. But I agree. I think if Colorado could end up with 10 wins, maybe 9, if Hunter stays healthy, and that's a key, but continues to play literally every play, has 100 yards receiving, passes defenses, gets an interception here or there, I think there will be a huge outcry that, you know, he is, like you said, he is the best. The thing is, there's no debate. There's like, no, he's not the best. He is the best player. It's the Heisman Trophy. It says most outstanding player. So I guess if we can change, if best equals outstanding, then he's got a shot. But it's going to be fascinating. But, you know, as LSU knows firsthand, you guys have seen it multiple times. It's not where you are right now. It's where you are, you know, mid-November. And you got to be, you know, got to be on the radar screen there to take advantage. And we'll see if Travis can continue his momentum.
Brett, on your Twitter or X site, you had the longest current winning streaks. Now, if I told you before the season, you and I, we could walk away with a lot of money. Army's got 11. But even as big a surprise as that is, are the teams tied for third? BYU with 8. Now, Miami of Florida, because of Cameron Ward, he gives you a shot there. But in Indiana, how surprised are you that, you know, Army has continued this role this season, and Indiana with, you know, what they've done this year, we saw last week, I mean, they blew the doors open in that game. So are you surprised that the Hoosiers have played that well this year?
Yeah, I really am. I mean, I thought they would be improved with Kurt Cignetti, but, you know, he was talking about Ohio State calling their shots. Cignetti called his shot in Indianapolis too.
He said,
you know, they're picking me to finish last. He goes, I've never finished last in the conference. The last time I was picked to finish last, I finished second in the conference. If you don't know who I am, Google me. I win. And he's living up to the hype. And yeah, they have Ohio State, you know, in a couple weeks. And you know, they have a very real chance of going 11-1. That we were talking about the playoff earlier. I'm fascinated to see how the committee judges an Indiana team that has dominated its schedule. But let's be honest, they haven't played the greatest. They're not playing murderer's row by any means. They haven't. The only ranked team they'll play is Ohio State. So, but still, they've already gone over their win total for the year, projected win total out of Vegas, and yeah, just an incredible job. He is, if not one of the leading contenders, the runaway winner for National Coach of the Year right now, I'd say.
Brett, thanks so much for joining us, man, because I think in 2 weeks we'll try to get back, and I think it'll be a little clearer picture of things once we get this week and next week's games kind of off the boards, because I think a lot of those games will be eliminations. Type games between what we see this weekend and next weekend, and a lot clearer picture of what potentially could be those 12 teams entering the national championship picture.
I agree. And, you know, remember, everybody remember, you know, next Tuesday, yep. It's a life-altering event that will occur impacting every American from coast to coast. Yep, that's right, the first college football playoff rankings. You thought I was talking about an election.
No, I knew exactly where you're going. Your mind's somewhere like mine. Exactly that point. Brett, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon, man. Great job, and continue the great work.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All righty. Brett McMurphy, man, does a great job. Been covering college football now. I guess maybe he'd be okay to say. It's over 30 years that Brett McMurphy's
covered. That's older than me.
Oh, I knew he was older than that. He covers it for Action Network HQ.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.